Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 74, stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, give ear when with my voice I cry aloud to thee. Have mercy also, I entreat. Give answer unto me. 1 through 4 of Psalter 74. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter, Matthew chapter 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. And Judas begot Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begot Esrom, and Esrom begot Aram. And Aram begot Aminadab, and Aminadab begot Naasson, and Naasson begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz of Rechab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. And David the king begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begot Rehoboam. And Rehoboam begot Abiah, and Abiah begot Asa. And Asa begot Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Ozias, and Ozias begot Jotham. And Jotham begot Achaz, and Achaz begot Ezekias, and Ezekias begot Manasses, and Manasses begot Amon. And Amon begot Josias, and Josias begot Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begot Salathiel, and Salathiel begot Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel begot Abihud, and Abihud begot Eliakim. And Eliakim begot Azar, and Azar begot Sadok, and Sadok begot Achim. And Achim begot Eliud, and Eliud begot Eleazar, and Eleazar begot Matthan, and Matthan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, as she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Jeremy Van Hagenbos, who had surgery in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest wherefore that we are gathered in this morning hour when we may come together in this day set aside by men, that we may commemorate the coming of thy dear Son in the flesh. And when we have read out of thy holy word, then we have read the reason. Then he would be called a Savior, for he would save his people from their sins. Lord, that there may be a need felt in our hearts in this morning hour. Then we have, for the weeks that have gone by, considered something of what that work is, of thy Holy Spirit, wherein that longing that is worked in the heart of a wretched sinner, a longing not only for thee, the true and the living God, but a longing also for that precious mediator. And Lord, how much needs to be stripped away of man, and how low does man with all his own works and all his own righteousness and all his own strength need to be brought in order that there may come a place for this blessed child. Indeed, then we must experience and that our heart is as that stable in which he was born into this world. And Lord, what a wonder that he was born in that place. And what a wonder that it is experienced to be in the life of those who may know their own heart to be such a stable. Lord, may thou go before us then in this morning hour, that there may be such wretched and filthy, polluted ones, and that have need of a mediator, and that have need of a Savior, and that have need of one to wash and to cleanse them, and that they may rejoice in the revelation of the birth of thy only begotten Son. Oh, could it please thee, thou who art the Holy Spirit, and who enlightens man in his wretchedness, and opens unto him all his guilt, and could it please thee also in this day to reveal thyself in all thy beauty, in thy great wonder, that it please thee to humble thyself so deeply, to be born in the heart of such a wretched and an unworthy one as they are. O Lord, that is the only way that thy name will ever receive the honor and the glory. And it is the only way that a publican would ever go down unto his own house justified. Lord, that thou may then look upon such ones. May they exist in our midst by the power of thy Holy Spirit, and that we would not be left to go on our own way our whole life long. What shall it be to appear before thee and to have rejected thee and have said even unto the Father concerning that great gift, the sending of thy Son into this world, and that we had no need of him? Oh, then surely thou wilt say unto us, Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Lord, remember each and every one of us then this day. Oh, that a Christmas may indeed be commemorated in our hearts, and that we may not be among the vain persons of this world who commemorate this day in such a vain and an empty way. And then with our religion, with our church going, still to miss the substance, oh, we beseech thee that thy word, that we may hear our whole life long, may not testify against us in that great day of days. Wilt thou so go with us in this morning hour? Remember the child that has received surgery. Thou hast made it thus far well. Lord, wilt thou strengthen him also in his body, heal him, and strengthen him in all his body. For thou knowest the many circumstances thereof. And wilt thou bless the means, not only for his body, but may it be for his own soul. He is this day still young. But Lord, he is not out of thy care. Oh, look on his soul. And his parents, give them a thankful and a humble heart. And look upon all the weak and all the sick ones and those that were not able to gather with us in this day. Wilt thou be with all that are lonely? When these days wherein we may often meet with our families, when they bring back memories and cause wounds to be reopened, may thou give strength, and may thou also give to look with concern upon the need of our own souls. Wilt thou go before us in this morning, in the preaching and in the hearing of thy holy word. Lord, wilt thou make it all possible? Wilt thou give us strength to do this labor? And wilt thou bless this word? Wilt thou take away what hinders? And wilt thou send thy Holy Spirit to give the application within our hearts? All one word from thee that is sufficient. And what is from man has to be taken away, but what is from thee, and that will last to all eternity. Lord, we ask of thee for thy blessing and thy mercy in this day. Forgive and keep us from all iniquity, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 117, stanzas 1 through 4, as pants the hart for streams of living water. So longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? There is only one collection today, which is for the school. Psalter 117, 1 through 4. Thank you. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It was, congregation, the prophecy of the servant of the Lord, Isaiah. And he has long before that time that the Lord Jesus was born in the world, he has prophesied of the coming of this Messiah. And he has spoken about his names so that he was revealed by the Lord in those names and that the Lord had revealed unto his servant. And then in the time, and then those names also would be fulfilled. And there was in the birth of Christ one special name that was prophesied of him, fulfilled, which becomes such a precious name in the life of God's true church. And with the Lord's help, we wish to consider this name with you for a few moments in this morning hour. The words of our text can be found in the chapter we have read to you, Matthew 1, verses 22 and 23. Now all this was done, and that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So far the words of our text. The name Emmanuel, or God with us. First, the fulfillment of this name. Second, the substance of this name. And third, the comfort of this name. The name Emmanuel, or God with us. The fulfillment of this name, the substance of this name, and the comfort of this name. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That is the prophecy of Isaiah in the days of Ahaz. Already from olden times, and we can read that the Lord has made known something of this Messiah to his church. That was even to our father Adam, that it was revealed that he would be a man of our flesh. Do you remember what the Lord has spoken, boys and girls, to Satan before our first parents had to leave that garden? And then we may hear that it is the seed of the woman. Thus the Lord has from the beginning of time already declared that this Savior, this Messiah, it was going to be in the human nature. And from that time forward, more and more, concerning the nature, the character of this child has been revealed. And we know that Isaiah has spoken much of that child. And the Lord has revealed much to his church through this man. And he has spoken about the fact that he will be born from a virgin. A virgin shall be with child, and his being called Emmanuel, God with us. Thus, already from the days of Isaiah, the church may know something of the dual natures of that Messiah who was to come. How much they understood of this, of course, that is a completely different matter. We know that it was for our fathers that they were under the shadows. Thus, there was for them so much hidden in those prophecies, even as so much is hidden for us in the prophecies that still lie before us and that have not yet been fulfilled. And yet, also, we know that a person can know it so well also in his mind even, and the experience of it is so much different. We can read that also in the life of Joseph. Joseph, we read, was a man who feared the Lord. And then you can be sure that Joseph was a man who also knew something about the prophecies, the promises of the Lord, that Messiah was to come. Thus, he was not a man that was ignorant of the Holy Scriptures. And yet, what happened when the Lord came in his own life? Then you can read that Joseph did not understand it anymore. He did not know how that it had to go. And so that is in the life so often of God's true church. And so the Lord, he is making known, he is revealing also something in a personal way unto this Joseph of the heavenly generation of this mediator. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. These two congregations are espoused. That means they are betrothed. In that time, that meant that they were actually legally married. Although there was a lapse of time before they actually came together and as husband and wife, before they actually dwelt under one roof, then there was a time that man was able to come up with the dowry price to give unto the father of the bride. We know that for Jacob, that was 7 years, but most of the time, and that was much shorter, that was perhaps 1 year or 2 years. But any unfaithfulness to one another in this time would be considered a reason for divorce, because they were legally married. And now it is likely that Mary, after they are betrothed, she has left and gone to her cousin Elizabeth. And we know that she has stayed with her cousin Elizabeth for 3 months. And then Mary returns, and then it is evident unto Joseph that Mary is with child. That is for the children of Israel, of course, no problem, because Joseph and Mary, they are legally married. But Joseph himself knows that this child is not his child. And Mary tells Joseph of the circumstances, what has taken place, but Joseph does not believe her. And that is, of course, understandable, because we would say in this world that was quite a remarkable story that Mary has told. That must have been quite a perplexity also for Mary, because Mary also knew what happened. And Mary knew the origin of this child. But how was she able to convince Joseph? Thus, the work of the Lord in the life of his own church that is often subjecting that people to reproach in this world, and sometimes even among the most godly in the church. Then this woman, Mary, she is going to be dealt with even by Joseph, her husband, as if that she is an harlot. And it is why it is because of the work of the Lord. Joseph is a just man. And Joseph does not look upon sin in a light way. How is that with us? Parents, husbands and wives, and young people. Do we look upon sin, and then especially this sin of adultery, in such a light way? He was a just man, and at the same time, he was a compassionate man. He believes his wife has sinned, but he does not wish to make his wife into a public example. He does not wish to bring her with much noise to the authorities and to say, this woman, she has sinned. This woman, she has committed adultery against me. And for that reason, I want to put her away. No, we read that Joseph, he is a just man. He cannot endure this iniquity. And yet, he loves his dear wife, and he has then a desire to spare her reputation. And he will just in a private way leave her. He will perhaps take himself and remove himself from this vicinity into a distant place. But while he thought on these things, thus, Joseph does not do this rashly, but he does this with much deliberation. He is in a great strait. He does not know what to do. He is weighing the consequences, the one thing over against the other. And then we find how that the Lord in the straits of his people is coming to their aid. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph, thou son of David. What does that angel do? That angel, by the command of the Lord, he is reminding Joseph of the promise of the Lord. We have heard in this morning the genealogy of Joseph. And Joseph well knew that Son of God, that Messiah that was to come, he was also to be
the seed of Abraham, and he was to be the seed of David. He was to be the son of David to sit upon his throne. And now when the Lord will come to the aid of his people, then the Lord will remind his church of that promise of the Lord. And how often is this not so necessary, because the Lord is coming to reveal that promise and to fulfill that promise in such an unexpected way. Thus, Joseph does not see, Joseph does not know how the Lord is going to fulfill this promise. And there is so much in his own life that is so turned upside down now by iniquity and by sin. And now the Lord reminds him in the first place of that promise. Joseph, thou son of David, that which is born in her is of the Holy Ghost. No, he says, it is no crime. No, he says, it is no sin, Joseph, but it is from the Lord. This is not a child that is conceived by the power of nature. No, this is a child that is conceived by a divine power. That your wife, Mary, that she has been overpowered by the Holy Spirit himself. Thus, we see how that the Lord is coming to the aid both of Joseph and of Mary. Everything that Mary could have said to Joseph to try to convince him, that was of no avail. We can place ourselves in her position. But now when the Lord comes to the aid of Mary, and when the Lord will speak one word unto Joseph, then it is all done. What do we read? We read that Joseph, he awakes in the morning, and he does as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Thus, there is in the mind of this man not one question anymore. And thus, when the Lord is speaking, when the Lord is coming over, then there is a certainty that is able to bring forth action, fruit, in the life of the people. Now, all this was done. Why? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. And then that name is being brought forth. That name, Emmanuel. Thus, it is declared the fulfillment of that prophecy and that promise of the Lord, Emmanuel, God with us. That God would come himself in the flesh. The fulfillment that is declared, that is testified. But congregation, it remains so hidden. Remains so hidden. Why does that remain hidden? Well, Mary and Joseph, of course, they are married. They are husband and wife. Thus, the whole world of the Jews will have no idea that this child is born of a virgin. They have no idea. It is righteously withheld from the wicked, that they may work out their own destruction. And it is a trial for the true faith of the true church of God. The Lord is going to have to give that church eyes to see who that the Lord Jesus is. We want to consider that further in our second thought, the substance of this name. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so the Lord Jesus has become in his incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us. What does John say? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We know the necessity, we hear that in the doctrine from time to time, the necessity that he become a human being, that he become man. Why? Because it is man that has sinned. It is man who must pay that price of sin. Why necessary that he should come in the flesh, in the human nature? Because it is not possible for the divine nature to suffer. Thus, the human nature only is able to bear that suffering. Emmanuel, God with us, did not come with a different nature. He did not come with a combination, some kind of a combination of a human nature and a divine nature together. No, but made like unto us, we read, in all things sin excepted. Not a human nature as we were created with in paradise, but a human nature as it has become subject to the consequences of sin through the fall. Thus we see, boys and girls, already from the beginning, that young life, he has to suffer something of the consequences of the sin of man, poverty. He is not laid in a beautiful cradle in a nice bed. No, but he is laid where probably very few children, if any in this world, have ever been laid in a manger. That he may suffer something of the consequences of sin, that poverty that has been brought upon mankind by himself through his own fall. And then we see it further throughout his whole life. He has to flee when he is still young. He becomes a fugitive. And so on. Then we can go through his whole life. Why? Well, we read the apostle says that he may be a compassionate and a sympathetic high priest. Emmanuel, God with us. A mysterious congregation, but a very precious name, Emmanuel. Why so mysterious? Because we cannot understand. We cannot understand how that those two natures, the divine nature and the human nature, could possibly be so united together into one person. Thus, such a mystery. but also mysterious in that name, Emmanuel, because we cannot understand, because we cannot comprehend that love out of which it is flowing, that fountain out of which this is flowing. That is the eternal love of God unto His church. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The fall of the angels, that was resulting in an eternal separation between God and the angels. The fall of man deserved the same. But it did not end in the same. And why not? Because man was different than the angels? No. Because of the sovereign good pleasure of the Lord. That is the only reason. And because it was His good pleasure to give this Emmanuel, that whole way being pointed out even unto our forefathers in the Old Testament by way of the ceremonies, by way of the tabernacle, we see this Emmanuel, He is pointed out in the high priesthood, in the objects of the tabernacle, and especially the altar. Of what was that altar made, children? The altar in the tabernacle that was made of shittim wood overlaid with brass. And these two parts, this shittim wood and the brass, they point to two things. That is the human nature of the Lord Jesus and the divine nature of the Lord Jesus. Together. And when that fire did burn upon that altar, then that wood did not burn. Why did that wood not burn? Because it was protected, because it was covered with what? It was covered with brass. And when this child in His human and His divine nature would suffer the consequences of the sin of man, would suffer the wrath of God, even what that church of God deserved to all eternity in body and in soul, He would not be consumed. And why would He not be consumed? Because the divine nature that would protect that human nature, that would even be as that brass that is protecting that shittim wood upon that altar. And now outside of the sacrifice upon that altar, there was no entrance into that Holy of Holies. Thus we see something already in that Old Testament of this blessed name, Emmanuel, God with us. Thus we see what a mystery. Not only a mystery, but what a precious name. Emmanuel, God with us. That expresses a relationship. A relationship, congregation, between God and His church. The relationship of God toward His own people. What was now the relationship between God and man in the creation? Well, you say, God was the creator, man was the creature. That is right, that is the relationship. It is the relationship between a creator and his creature. But now what will be the relationship between God and his people through Emmanuel? God with us. That will be a relationship that is so much closer than that relationship between the creature and the creator. And that relationship is laid out, it is revealed to us in different ways in that Word of God. It is laid out as a fraternal relationship, that means the relationship between brothers and sisters. How is the relationship, young people, between brothers and sisters? Is that now a good relationship in your house? That is now a relationship that the Lord is using to picture what that relation is between God and his church through this Emmanuel. Thus, that is, he says that he is not ashamed to call them brethren. We read in the Word of God that it is revealed as a filial relationship. What is that? That is the relationship between a father and a son, a parent and a child. How is that relationship in your house, young people? Between you and your father and your mother? Because that is again a relationship that the Lord is using in his word to express the relation between God and his church through this Emmanuel. Then he has one only begotten son, but he has a church that is adopted of God to be his sons and his daughters. Emmanuel, God with us. A much, much closer relationship than the relation between the creator and the creature. A conjugal, a filial relationship, but then also a conjugal. It is a fraternal relationship between brother and sister. Conjugal relationship between a man and his wife. What does he say? He is the bridegroom. And that church is the bride. Oh, how is this relation, fathers and mothers, husbands and wives? Again, a relation that the Lord is using to express the closeness of that relation through this Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, the Lord comes even closer because he will express that relation through this child, this Emmanuel, even as being the members of his own body. He says, I am the head and you are the branches. I am the head, ye are the members of the body. I am the vine and ye are the branches of the plant. Thus, that is even a closer relation, yet there is a union even into one. Thus, we see something of the preciousness, of the blessedness of this name, Emmanuel, God with us, to express something of the favor of the Lord unto his own church, that he will bring them into such a close relationship unto himself. Emmanuel, God with us, to express something of that reconciliation of God between those that have sinned against him and he that has been sinned against. Oh, that is the reality of the blessedness that is the fruit
of the application of this blessed child, is there also fruit in our own life? Let us sing Psalter 419, stanzas 1 and 2. Forth from thy courts, thy sacred dwelling, in jubilant accord, we hear sweet strains of praises swelling, O Israel's mighty Lord. To God who hears our imploration, we come to pay our vow. Soon men from every tribe and nation before our God shall bow. 1 and 2 of Psalter 419. Our last thought, the comfort of this name, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. What is congregation? One of the first things that is experienced in that new life. Children, what do you think? When the Lord would give to you a new heart, what do you think is then one of the first things that such a person would experience? Then it is not Emmanuel, God with us, but it is just the opposite. Without God in the world. Then a person sees something of the place that he has brought himself. And that relation that God had made, that covenant that God had made with him in paradise, that is a broken relation, that is a broken covenant. At the same time, the Lord gives something else. And that is so necessary. And what is it? That is love. That is love to him. That being without God in the world, that is something that becomes to them a burden. That they desire that they may no longer be without God in this world. For Jacob, that was not so much that he desired that red pottage, children. You know that. That was not so important to Jacob. He can make his own pottage. He needed something else. What did he need? Oh, his heart that longed for God. His heart longed for the blessing of the Lord. Jacob could not do without God. Is that so of you too? We may read of Ruth in Moab that she felt the same, and that she felt something of what she missed, that she saw that was in the life of Naomi, her mother-in-law. Oh, then she says, "Thy God, my God." And now that longing, that is an essential fruit of that new life. If that longing is not there, then we do not have new life. The fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of knowledge, we read. What kind of fear is that? Is that the slavish fear? No, that is a childlike fear. That is love. Thus, the love of the Lord, that is the beginning of knowledge, and the Lord, he is planting that love. The Lord is drawing that love out of that people. It is called in the Bible the first love. We can have so much religion without it. We can have so much emotion without it. We can weep tears without it of self-pity. We can desire to be in God's house without it because it is so nice maybe that we can come up and we can hear something of the birth of that little child. And we can sing together and we can socialize together. Oh, and yet we miss that love. It is possible that we also want the blessings of God's people, that we may die with the righteous ones, that our death would be just like theirs. And yet we miss that love to him. It is possible that we have with the zeal of Jehu, we may reform our whole life and take away all the idols out of the land and still miss that love. But a grace of God that is planting that love within that man. And then what do they feel so keenly? Oh, they feel the separation. They feel the missing. And it is that missing which is now the foundation. Why they want to be in God's house. It is that missing that is now
the fountain out of which their tears are flowing. Thus, the outside may be the same between a Christian and a pliable, but the inside, that fountain, that foundation, that can be so different. And that love that is also the basis of the reformation of the whole life of the people. And why? It has one object. And what is that object? That they may take away that great separation that is between God and their soul. Congregation, do you know such a life? What makes that separation? Sin. Whose? Not my neighbor's. Mine. And thus, what do they want to remove? Cause of that separation? Oh, if I could only take away the cause, then that separation will be gone also. There is a modern day Christianity that mocks with that people. It stands so above the people, and it looks down upon them from their empty heights, says to them, by grace you must be saved through faith. Oh yes, so very true. So very, very true. Congregation, this is now the matter that will be learned by experience in the life of that people. And what will they experience? They will experience that that reformation does not take that separation away. And why not? Oh, shall we ask Martin Luther? Did you ever read something about his life, young people? Shall we ask Martin Luther? Why? Does that reformation not take away that separation? Why does that reformation of life not give me peace in my soul? Oh, then he cannot take away the sins of the past. And such a person is not able to change the corruption that lies within him. And such a person is never able to come up to the standard, that high standard of perfection of that holy law of God, where of necessity does all the labor of that people bring them? It brings them in the impossibility. Impossible to do what? Impossible, congregation, to take away that separation between God and my soul. That is what it is about. From that moment of regeneration, that is what it is about. Do we know this in our life? Step by step. It is a church that is led into the impossibility because they cannot overbridge that gap. And now what a wonder for such a soul. Oh, when the Lord from heaven may reveal this name. May reveal this name. How many years have that people not sought the face of the Lord? With what earnest longings have they not desired to come into His presence? And finally, after all their efforts, then they see it is not possible. It is not possible. And then for the Lord to come and to show something, congregation of this name, Emmanuel, and to say to that people, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then you'll understand what an opening there is in the life of that people. It is not for my neighbor. No, we can understand how that God can be reconciled to him. But when Paul says, of whom I am the chief, then this I do not understand. And now for the Lord to come and to say, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, to humble himself so deep and to pay such a price for such a wretched creature. Congregation, then you understand something of the joy of Christmas. Can you understand how did those shepherds, that they open their mouth and that they say to every stranger along the way that they speak of this Emmanuel? Oh, it becomes possible in all my impossibility. Now it is possible. Not because of a work of man, but because of that sovereign good pleasure of the Lord in sending his only begotten Son. There is, young people, there is in this day so much superficial joy. Oh, if we could only bring you, if we could only bring you to sit next to such a person who may have revealed something in all his wretchedness and impossibility. Oh, to see and to hear such a man speak, no, young people, I will tell you, to hear such a child speak, to hear such a young person speak, you are not too young. But the Lord is able to show it to you in your youth. And do you think that there is a greater joy in this whole world than that people who expected so righteously that the Lord would cut them off and that they would have to spend a never, never ending eternity without God. And then for the Lord, oh, there is a reason that our Father said that they go through hell unto heaven. And that is in one moment, at the revelation of this precious person. O congregation, then in one moment, we will tell you something of what may be experienced by the people. You know what may be experienced? Something of this blessed name. Something of this blessed name.
Can you imagine what that is? Emmanuel, God with us. There is in that moment no separation, no separation at all between God and our soul. No separation. Why not? Because there is no sin. There is no sin. No, then a person sees how that price that was so complete that he has taken away every sin so that there is now a clear path between God and my soul. And there is no more wrath. That strict justice of God that has been so completely satisfied. Do you think that the people would not want to leap for joy? Congregation, Emmanuel, God with us. Are you still without him? Oh, this is the only way. It is the only way. There is one name. One name under heaven by which we must be saved. And then we must know of him. First in the missing. In the missing. Because that is the reality. Then in the longing for him. Oh, has the Lord ever revealed himself as Emmanuel, the substance of that name, unto your heart? Oh, may we have no rest. May we have no rest until we also may be the recipients of the substance of this name. How is that, people of the Lord? Oh, then there was a moment. Then there was a time. Oh, that you had to believe it. Not only that you may believe it, but there was a time you had to believe it. And now how is it? So many questions, so many riddles. And why? Because the knowledge of self increases. And that is the way of the Lord. And why? Oh, that you may experience more and more that you are worthy of an eternal separation forever and forever. That from your side, this is all that you could bring even after received grace. And so that this child, he may become more and more precious, more and more necessary, more and more suitable. And one day, all the separation is going to be taken away. And then he is going to receive all the glory forever. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words. Oh, bless thy word. And that we may feel something of the separation that we have made. And that we may know something of the reconciliation which thou hast brought. Oh, that we may not be strangers of it, between the cradle and the grave, and that we may not be cast out of thy eternal presence forever and forever. Forgive all our sins, also of this morning hour. Bless thy word. Bring us with desire in thy house again in this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 203, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own, to keep me near thy side. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 203. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.